The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today. At the Gainesville State School, the students ages 13 to 19 are all convicted criminals. But if they keep up their grades and behave, they can play football. But in their case, every game was an away game. Then, one game in 2008 impacted their lives forever when the opposing team's coach and community expressed God's love in a unique way. The One Heart Project, next.
A lot of enthusiasm here. I see a lot of jerseys from Faith Christian. That's in Grapevine. Grapevine is basically where the DFW airport is, if you want to know the truth. It's in the mid-cities area between Dallas and Fort Worth. Grapevine is the neighboring community to the east of where Betty and I live in the mid-cities of the DFW Metroplex. And Grapevine Faith is a great Christian school. They teach the right things. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. You're going to see one of the greatest expressions of love you're ever going to witness. And the end result of that love will be felt throughout eternity. You're going to actually look in on a football game where a Christian school, because of the love of God, playing against the Gainesville incarceration unit for teenagers, for juveniles, it's a prison, played these young men who were given a chance, if they kept the rules, to play football. They didn't see a whole lot of love, except from their coaches, until they went to play Faith Christian. Watch.
At the Gainesville State School, things are not quite like they are at any other high school campus. Here, the students, ages 13 to 19, are all convicted criminals. Life at this maximum security facility is anything but normal. Yet if these kids achieve in the classroom and meet the school's strict behavior standards, they can play football. The one thing that provides a brief rush with freedom. Yet for the Gainesville boys, every game is an away game. Every crowd an away crowd, most with little understanding or compassion. Each experience holds a constant reminder of who they are and what they've done. After suffering through a 2008 season that saw 8 consecutive losses, and after scoring just 14 points all season long while giving up over 300, the Tornadoes travel to Grapevine to finish their season against private school powerhouse Faith Christian.
As soon as I knew Gainesville was in our district, I wonder what that's going to be like. I mean, I bet you there's a way to impact them. The outgrowth of that was what would give them the most hope. And so then we had the idea.
Hogan sent an email to the entire Faith community, asking fans, students, and parents to do something out of the ordinary. Cheer for Gainesville and make these boys feel like they were their own.
I just seen all the people right there, and I was just shocked, surprised. Then when I found out it was a spirit line, they wanted us to run through it. I mean, it was just a good feeling to have.
Run through that line, crash through that banner, and have fun all night long. That's what it's all about.
We just kept running to the other side, and we didn't want to stop. Like, it was just like a rush. Like, you couldn't stop.
After they made the spirit line, they came and sat on our side. I was thinking, I was like, what are these people doing?
You saw hope in their eyes when they came out and saw that spirit line, and then confidence every time the fans cheered for them.
It seriously looked like they just won the Super Bowl. They were so happy.
It's almost like they didn't have to prove anything. There was such a celebration of them, they begin to think, yeah, we are a team like everybody else.
While the scoreboard showed Gainesville coming up short that night, losing by a score of 33 to 14, it hardly mattered.
You could show us the scoreboard a million times and you still can't convince us that we lost. felt like God was just touching upon all of us and letting us know that there's people out there that care about you.
It felt good knowing that the people out there that even though they don't even know you, they're gonna care about you.
Their emotional maturity went up several years that night when they saw that there were more people out there that were giving of their heart. These are the things that makes them feel that they're just as important as any other kid on the face of this earth.
It motivated me and gave me a lot of hope.
They're willing to help us as long as we're willing to help ourselves. They're willing to give us a second chance as long as we're willing to take the second chance.
We could be affirmed in the fact that we really made a difference that night, and I think you can see it's down the road and made a difference.
Had we done this before, maybe 10 or 12, 15 years ago, had we done things like this, there's a good possibility that this place might not even exist.
Isn't that great? I don't know what you felt, but I sure felt a lot of love. I want to introduce you to the gentleman that we have here. You saw each one of them briefly there in the film. Here nearest me is the coach at Gainesville that is now coaching at Grapevine, actually, but Mark Williams is here. Welcome, Mark. Would you just say on the other end of the row, I want to introduce the coach that Faith Christian, and that's Chris Hogan. Chris, God put this on your heart. Just say a big welcome to Chris. And then in the center, you see Mike White. Mike, I appreciated hearing your heart there just briefly. Say welcome to Mike. Let me just ask you, Mike, you kind of sitting here in the center of this group that I think is just absolutely a beautiful picture of what love can do. What did that night with those fans cheering for you and the surprise and running through the spirit line, running through the banner and all that, what did it do to the whole team as a whole when you felt that the impact of the expressions of love?
Well, first, it matured us as far as, like, to, you know, give us hope and, you know, to have some kind of reason to feel like we had a purpose on this earth. You know, just growing up, not having that solid, you know, foundation of parents to believe in you and give you hope, it kind of, you know, destroys who you really are, and it destroys, you know, the motivation and the hope to want to be something. So you're, like, in the worst point in your life when you're incarcerated, you're taken from everything. And, you know, that support right there. And I was getting released during, like, the next year. But, like, the next year, because that was at the end of the year, and I was getting released soon, so that kind of motivated me to, you know, want to do something with my life, and it helped me to believe. You know, it helped me to have hope and just say that it's somebody out there that cares about me, and I have, you know, something to prove in this world because those people motivated us. I feel like they paved the way for us in order to want to be something when we get out and to connect with those same people.
So they made a lifetime impact on you. And because of the love of God, they actually made an eternal impact, didn't they?
Yes.
Chris, you got this on your heart. Tell me about it, because I know you've been going to prison. You got a winning football team out there at Faith Christian. You've got a great legacy of victories and championships. But what in the world inspired you to do what you guys did as Faith Christian and all those wonderful people?
Well, I'd like to say it's a biblical worldview. I mean, this seems like a no-brainer when you have 16 and 17-year-olds coming to you without the proper support and without the parental structure, and they're coming to your campus. It seems like a no-brainer to show them what they're, how great they can be, and that the imprint of Christ is on them. And so the idea was to exactly what Mac expressed. It was to give hope, because when you're incarcerated, the thing you lack the most is hope. So the Faith family did a great job expressing to these kids how valuable they are.
Was there anything special that you said to your team before you began the game?
You know, we have pregame instruction every single game. This one was unique, obviously, and that is to play hard, but project Christ the best way you can every play, whatever that looks like. And then we talked about those strategies all week.
You know, you talked about worldview, Chris, and I think really, and then you referenced hope. I think when you have a twisted worldview, or a worldview that's not based on absolute rock-solid principles and truth, I think you have a sense of hopelessness because you can't see the standard clearly. You don't really know what the target is. It'd be like playing football and your team not knowing where the goal is.
No question.
Just kind of take off in whatever direction, whatever whim you've got, and not play as a family. Our nation needs to begin to behave as a family. That's the worldview you're talking about. The church needs to behave as a family. And I want you to know that I believe you illustrated what the family of God looks like and what the world should see in the family of God. There's nobody watching us on television anywhere in the world that couldn't see the love that was literally demonstrated and expressed toward your team. You agree you felt love. You said a moment ago, Mike, that we felt like we had hope. And was it the hope that love offered when you saw people cared that meant that there were possibilities for the future? That's what you saw.
Yes.
Did it impact all the team? Could you see a definite impression that was made?
I mean, it impacted all of us. You saw, you know, because when you're in jail, it's kind of like you want to put on this hard ego. People don't want to be themselves because they're scared to be judged. So a lot of times you're just fighting egos and pride in jail. So that time, you know, being incarcerated, they basically, that love told us, you can put those egos aside. We love you, you know,
wow.
Accept this love. So at that time you saw who, you know, what those people really were. You saw a lot of our peers. Well, I saw a lot of my peers' true emotions come out, true hope come out, and start to tend to care about things more than I saw before that game started.
That's great. Well, Mark, you were coaching these guys. Now you're coaching at Grapevine, but you were trying to help these boys. What did you see? What was going on? Because I know you had to have an interest in the boys. You were doing your best to help them.
Well, we use that as a reward. Okay, and then the football, to get out on Friday night and to play other teams, to be able to get out and breathe fresh air, it was very inspiring to watch the kids as they left campus. And the other kids sitting in the dorm, they'd be looking out the windows at us, you know, as we're leaving, making fun of us, because you're going to get slaughtered, you're going to get slaughtered. These kids didn't care. Yeah. They wanted to go out and get and smell fresh air. And to see them do that, it was amazing.
Well, you saw the effect. Now, I know that you encouraged Mike. He got out. You gave mm-hmm. him some direction and some help. What did you tell him to do?
Well, before that, he was a pretty tough cookie. When I first met him, I had to work with him.
I like that smile.
He knows. Matter of fact.
Yeah, you lost your tough image. Yeah, I'll tell you what you gained was a courageous image.
That's right.
Rock solid. That's what you gained. What? Go ahead. What were you?
When he first got there, he was like I said, he was a hard kid, and he was going to do it his way, and he was going to do it his way. And I kept coaching him. I said, Mac, if you'll do this, I'll let you play football. I'll let you play basketball. We'll do this. We'll do this together. I'm the best there is. Okay. Okay, let's do this. So when that happened that night, I saw a total 180-degree change in this kid right here. He was already doing great, but he did greater. And today he's carrying it on, and he's showing other people how.
What's he doing now, Chris? Tell us about it. Now, we're going to put a website aside up, but I want you to tell what you're doing and what you're hoping to inspire all over the country.
Okay. It's a major motion picture. You can look at the website is oneheart.com, and it tells about all the action items associated with the film, and it's to help incarcerated youth. There's a redirection program for the kids as they come out. And there is a rehabilitation program associated with it as well. And a lot of programs. It's really a large project. And going to the website, you can really see all of the ways you can get involved.
Can you show communities all over the country and even all over the world ways that they can impact the overlooked? Because I know in talking to you, you've got a great love in your heart for the kids that have been troubled. I mean, did you have a troubled past yourself that caused you to have this? Where'd you get this?
No, I just knew a bunch of people like Max, so it just... I'm kidding. No, it's the same thing as everyone who's become a believer. When Christ gets a hold of your heart, he changes the way you view people. And that's the bottom line to it.
So can you give on your website, can you give some insight and
certainly.
Some help to people how they can make a difference
Definitely.
In their community? Because this is what we want. We want to help inspire the church community, the community that should be full of compassion and releasing the effect of that compassion on those around them. We want to be a source, not only of inspiration, but setting an example.
Well, it's
you
so
can
easy.
Help do that.
It's so simple. What we did, we're surprised a little bit that the media covered it and there was such a big explosion. Shouldn't it be normal what
Absolutely.
We did?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'll tell you this. A lot of times, you know, I'm on the TV show talking about what happened, but I'm telling you, there's way too much credit given to me. The credit is the people who received the email and took action. See, in this country and all over the world, everyone's knowledge level supersedes their obedience level.
Wow.
And you have to be a doer of the word. James 1:22, there wouldn't have been a night because of just the idea. Somebody had to follow through. And the credit belongs to the faith families who showed up and made it happen.
What did this do for some of your team? Because they were demonstrating.
Sure.
They were playing hard, I'm sure, but they were demonstrating the love mm-hmm. that you had spoken to.
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what it did for them. I don't think they recognized the need for salt and light. When the media looked at it, blew it up, major motion picture, I'm going to the Super Bowl, I'm on TV shows like today, they're looking around and seeing they live kind of in a bubble, right? The Christian home, they're in a private school with an intentional bubble, which I think is smart. But they don't understand the great need of salt and light until they recognize, you look out and see how people respond, they're thinking this is normal from our viewpoint. And the problem is it's not normal across the country. It used to be. And so it demonstrated a great need for our kids.
We've heard the gospel without seeing a clear demonstration of the power, the transforming power of the gospel in the people professing it to reveal that it's changed their lives. You don't have to stay where you were. You and I both had troubled families. We didn't have a stable situation. You indicated your dad was even around more than your mother. You've had to deal with forgiveness. You would not, I don't think, have had the ability to forgive if you hadn't experienced some forgiveness yourself. Am I right about that?
You're right.
Now you understand the importance of forgiving as well as being forgiven. Am I right about that?
Yes.
You sense that in your heart?
Yes.
And did this fan that fire of what you knew needed to happen?
Yeah, I think from the game and from because of where I grew up at, a lot of us are ignorant to a lot of things, you know, and the things that we do know, if you just listen, if you go into incarcerated youth and you listen to the way they talk, then you'll know what they're learning at home. Mm-hmm. You'll know that they weren't raised by, you know, a solid mom or a solid dad. You'll hear gang stuff come out their mouth or stuff that a pimp will say or, you know, somebody who was misled, you know, and when you hear that, that teaches you what's being taught in that environment. So when you're taught something else and it's like you believe in something that's really not true, and then once the exposure happens and you finally see that what you believed in was wrong because it was demonstrated to you, then you tend to have an open mind about a different life, a new life. And that's what I was taught. And because of this demonstration of love, you know, it's hard to show love if you were never taught or it was ever demonstrated to you. So because it was taught to me, and then I learned about forgiveness, and I learned that as I've been staying here, when I make mistakes, people are still here to, you know, support me and help me out. That helps me to do that with somebody else. It helps me to be more patient with somebody else when I feel like that they're messing up and I'm trying to help them. You know, but the old me wouldn't have tolerated that because it wasn't tolerated with me.
Take my hand. I never had a father that didn't have a home. I'm going to tell you something. I was the kid that wasn't even picked. I'm still standing there. God said, I choose him, use you. I've been able to touch the lives of millions of people that didn't have a good home. I'm going to tell you something. Mike, you're going to be very special. What you just said, you just delivered a great message. Aren't you proud of him, Mark? Mm-hmm. Chris, aren't you proud of him? Don't you want to just say thanks be to God? A special young man. God's going to really use you. You just said a mouthful. You just heard profound truth from a former prisoner set free by the love of God. Father, I pray you not only set prisoners free, but God, I pray you free Christians and professing Christians to be a light, to be salt and light and pierce the darkness and go love somebody right in their own community. In Jesus' name, we can do that. We can do that together. I just thank you so much. Again, say thanks to these coaches and thank God for One Heart. There's the website there on the screen. You can go there. Let me ask you to do something. I want to ask you to go to the phone in a moment. Some of you be calling and say, I want to give my life to God. I want to trust Christ. I want to get active. But would you dial the number two and say, I want to give some smiles and some shoes to children this coming Christmas? We got to do it now in order to get these to the ends of the earth, to put shoes on 200,000 children's feet. Watch and listen, but reach out. This is your opportunity to make a huge difference in someone's life. Watch closely.
I was hungry, and you gave me food to fill my empty stomach. When I was thirsty, you handed me a cup of clean water to drink. I needed shelter. You gave me a home. When I needed help, you gave me hope.
This Christmas, would you consider giving 200,000 needy children something they had never had before?
You know what? I love those little children. And I'm not just saying that. I don't need to love them. We get to show them love. And Betty, we get to show them love because people out here are willing to share the love. Not just talk about it, not just sing about it in church, but we're able to put shoes on those little feet. Like they said, the little children talking, give water and give food, whatever they need. The little shoes that we give them, that's a very special surprise. They never even dreamed they'd have shoes.
And you know, James, it's so much more than just giving them something that they don't have. It's putting protection on their precious feet. Jesus does love every little child in the world, and he cares about them from head to toe. He cares about them being safe. He cares about them being thirsty. He cares about them being hungry. And I believe he cares about their feet, because more than just the shoes, the feet can help keep them from getting disease, James, because they get cuts, they get sores, they get all kinds of disease that come because of those injuries on their feet. And I think it's a great opportunity to say, hey, we care about you. Won't you join with us?
You know, several years ago, the missionaries made us aware that there's a hookworm that often gets into their body through some kind of a cut in their foot or some kind of an abrasion, and it can ultimately go to the brain. But it causes incredible illness and even death. The discomfort, Betty, we watched a child that was dying, and we've seen many children that the doctors told us it was because of what came through the parasites that were either in water they were in or off the ground that got into their blood. And it came from not having protection on their feet. So we know that food and water is critical. But this is like smiles and shoes for Christmas, because we're going to do cleft palate surgery. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. These shoes that are literally made out of a synthetic material, They last a long time, and they've got an adjustable size strap, so if they get them a little too big, they can grow into them. We want to give 200,000 children shoes for Christmas, 200,000 pair. They're $3.60 a pair, so $36, 10 children have shoes. 72, and you've got shoes for 20 children. Could you do that? Could you help us with a gift of 144? And then 40 children have shoes. Just break out what you can do. So I'm going to help those children. And dial that number and take your bank card and use it. Use it like you would a check, or write a check. Make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're sending it so we'll know we've got the support. And if you could possibly give $500 or $1,000 to help us do surgeries for two children, give them a smile, cleft palate surgery, let's give shoes and smiles for Christmas, whatever you can do. We're going to send you the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze if you make a gift toward this wonderful outreach of $1,000 or more, and some of you can do that. Or if you make any gift, we're going to send you the incredible devotional book. I've never read one that is more inspirational than Sarah Young's Jesus Calling, a missionary family, a missionary that I'm telling you, listen to Jesus in the most precious and beautiful way. This is going to bless you beyond measure while you bless others. with an expression of the love of God, please, please make that call or go online and make the gift God put on your heart. Real important that you do it, and we're asking you to do it now. Thank you so much for doing it.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. Life Outreach International has developed a durable all-terrain shoe especially made for the harshest conditions and children of all ages. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the best-selling inspirational devotional by Sarah Young, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
With all my heart, I ask you, please, this really is your opportunity to do something, to take action. Betty, giving these children shoes and the hearts that are open. When I tell you, we've saved the lives of millions of children. We've given hope to millions. But we've led millions and millions to Christ because of what the missionaries are able to do. We're going to send you Jesus Calling. This devotional book will bless you. Thank you for your gift. I want to say thanks again to our wonderful guests, to Faith Christian for the example, and to the work, and to One Heart. God bless you. Join me saying thanks for our guests. Bless you, Mark. Bless you, Matt. Bless you, Chris. Thank you. Thank God. Thank all of you for helping us share the love of God, not in word only, but in deed.
Navigating the choices in our life tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.